excited to have with us Dr. Michael O'Neill. So if we could just give a Radiant Church welcome to Pastor as he comes to share God's word with us.
Thanks, man. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you all, and it's so great to be back here to worship with you all, and excited that my wife and one of my sons is here as well. They've been to the old building, and so this is the first time in the new building, so grateful that they have the chance to be here to worship with you all as well. We are in Matthew 23 today. Just want to read a few verses before we really get to dig into these verses of really what Jesus said about really fake religion or fake Christianity. And this, I'm just going to read verses 13 and 15 in Matthew 23. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. So some strong language here from Jesus. For you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. In verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. And so we're going to dig into those words a little bit. It sounds kind of discouraging, but we're going to look at some positive things from it, what we can learn from it as well. But again, grateful to be here with you all this morning. Love what God is doing here among your ministry team, among your leadership, Mark and his team. Keith and I go way back, met when he first moved into the area, and it's been exciting and really encouraging to see how God has led him and used him and worked through him. So again, just grateful for the relationship that our church has with your church as well. So again, thank you for having me here. I will tell you, by God's grace, I am still following Jesus today because God has placed some real deal Christians in my life to encourage me, to teach me, to lead me, to point me constantly to Jesus. I think about my coworkers, our church staff, brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's a picture of us at a Braves game recently, and they're the real deal. They practice what they preach, and they come alongside me and really encourage me and challenge me in many ways as I seek to follow Jesus every day. We even got to, this is a bonus here. We got to be on the big Jumbotron screen. I mean, this is like my 3.5 seconds of fame right there. I was so excited about that. And so that is me being really excited right there. I think about other real deal Christians in my life, like Sam Mann. Sam usually comes here with me. He has been really, goes way back with Keith as well. And older member of our church, a retired business professional, one of my best friends at church, but just always encouraging me in my faith. He is the real deal. I think about my own father. This is a picture of my dad with me and my boys. Just as I grew up, he was the same person at home as he was on the softball field and as he was at church. And that spoke volumes to me as I grew up, and still today, just a great servant leader. He is the real deal. I think about my wife, my best friend in life, and she shows and shares the love of Jesus in our family each and every day. She is the real deal. And so without question, God has put those real deal Christians in my life to disciple me. He's used those people in my life to grow my faith in Jesus. And I see how they love Jesus, how they live for Jesus in every area of their lives. I see how they influence people towards Jesus. I see how passionate they are about God's purposes for their lives. I see how they're committed to telling the truth and keeping their promises. And so again, God uses those real deal Christians in our lives to make a real difference in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I want to be the real deal. Like, I want my family to see me as the real deal. I want my friends, my neighbors. I want people at church to see me as the real deal. I want the people who do not believe in Jesus that I'm witnessing to, I want them to see me as the real deal. And so these words from Jesus that we're going to look at today really matter for us. They have earthly and eternal implications for us. Because what he says is he distinguishes between what is real and what is fake. And he, in the, this is first century disciples of Jesus. They had surrendered their lives to Jesus, yet Jesus was talking to them and warning them about the marks of fake or false Christianity. And so here we are in 2025, 21st century disciples of Jesus. We still need these words from Jesus. We still need to be challenged to think about, okay, am I the real deal? And what do I need to do to fight against fake Christianity? If we want to be genuine, authentic, joy-filled, difference-making Christians, we have to pursue the real deal. Here are some words from our pastor, actually our lead pastor, Jed Coppinger. He has a great book out called Fake Christianity, and here's what he says. Every Christian has to battle fake Christianity as part of growing as a real Christian. It, talking about fake Christianity, harms relationships of all kinds, friendships, dating, engagements, marriages, parenting, grandparenting, and more. It makes everything worse. Thankfully, Jesus has plenty of blood-bought mercy to share with everyone who turns to him. Jesus died and rose again so that all who surrender their lives to him will not only be saved from the penalty of sin, but also be given the grace and power to live the life that God created us to live. And so by his grace and power, we can fight against fake Christianity and pursue authentic Christianity. And we have a greater joy in our circumstances. We'll have greater impact in our families, in our community, and in this world that is so broken and desperate to see what authentic Christianity looks like. I love what you all are doing, sending missionaries out around the world, and we sent out a member of our church to serve with a mission agency in London, England, and we have a podcast called Change Your City Podcast, and recently had him on as a guest to talk about what does it look like to live on mission in London and to be an authentic Christian in a dark and broken culture. And so this is just a little clip, a little taste of what he said. Look, watch this.
It's shocking really how dark it is spiritually. I mean, it's depressing, shocking, but the darker the room is, the brighter the light is. You light a match. And so to encounter an authentic Christian in that culture is an amazing thing for them. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing. Because I live there, see, and that causes them to respect you more, listen to you more. When you live there, you're not just passing through and you're going back to Disneyland. They think we live in Disneyland. It really causes them to stop and think, wait a minute, this guy has come from America. We're all trying to get to where Taylor Swift lives. You come in from there to here. Wow. You must really believe what you are telling me. And then they watch you live, and then they lean into it. They go, okay, so what's the deal here? And it really is about Jesus. It really is about the only person that can save somebody and the only person that can change a person permanently. And we wrap that in the gospel.
So you didn't have a missionary referencing Taylor Swift on your bingo card today, did you? But as Terry said so well, we live in this world that's dying to see authentic Christians living out what they say they believe. And God will work in and through real deal Christians who live with integrity and conviction and passion, and who are totally committed to shining the light of Jesus in a dark world and to sharing the hope of Jesus in a broken world. And so today, here's what we're going to do. Here's the plan. We're going to look at three, we could look at 23, but we're going to look at three characteristics of real deal Christians and how we can be faithful followers of Jesus instead of fake followers of Jesus. So, number one, if you have some notes, you can follow along. If you don't have notes, you can write them down, but it's always helpful for me anyway to write things down. So, number one, real deal Christians influence people toward Jesus. So Matthew 23:13, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. So these scribes and Pharisees were in positions of influence, but they were influencing people away from the kingdom of God, and actually closing the door for others. They mocked, mistreated, misunderstood Jesus, ultimately rejecting Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and leading others away from reconciliation with God that only comes by faith, or by grace through faith, in Jesus alone. I love what Marshall Segal says. He says, one of the greatest dangers of Phariseeism is that it's contagious. When we disconnect our heart from our head, subtly putting our confidence in our flesh, we lead other people away from Jesus with us. When Pharisees make disciples of all nations, they breed children of hell, not sons and daughters of grace. Are the people following you, get this, are the people following you amazed by grace? Isn't that a great question, very convicting question for me? Does your influence in their lives widen their eyes and heart to the wonder that God would save any of us? So as Christians, as real deal Christ followers, we are all doorkeepers of influence. We have influence. The question for us is, what do we do with the influence that God has given us? Are we influencing people toward Jesus, or are we influencing people away from Jesus? Husbands and fathers, dads and moms, you have influence. Are you leading your kids or your grandkids to know and follow Jesus? How are you doing that? Christians in the room, you have influence. How are you leading your neighbors to know and follow Jesus? Students in the room, you have influence. How are you leading your teammates, your friends, your classmates to know and follow Jesus? I know we celebrate Easter once a year. We have Easter Sunday. It's all great. It's great. But we know this down deep, don't we, that Easter is every single day for us as Christians because Jesus is alive, right? So do we really believe that Jesus died and rose again? Yes, we do. Do we really believe that Jesus is the only one who can take away our sin? Yes. Do we really believe that Jesus is alive today and changing people's lives? Yes, we do. So we have, summers are so short, it feels like. Like we're almost halfway, I guess, in the middle of summer. And then, about 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks from now, school's about to start back. It's just wild and crazy. Yeah. Salas, you're excited about that, aren't you? Yeah. So think about this, though, with this just the short summer that we have, 5, 6 weeks left, a little over a month, let's say. How do you make the most? How do we make the most of this summer? With the people that God has put in our path, in our circles, what I would call our circles of influence. So if you have your worship notes, or I'll put it on the screen here as well, this is just a helpful graphic that helps us think through God with no accident. He's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. He has put people in our lives, family members, neighbors, friends, coworkers. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take about, 45 seconds to a minute. If you've got a pen, you could write in names, but at least think about over the next 45 seconds to a minute, think about the people God has put in your life to point them to Jesus. Maybe lead them into a relationship with Jesus, or if they already know Jesus, to help them pursue and keep following Jesus. And so this may be a little weird for you, I don't know, but just silence in the middle of a message. But we're going to do 45 seconds to a minute. I want you to write down some names or think about some names, and then we'll pray for those names as well. So take about 45 seconds or so. All right, now I want you to look at those names, and I want you to just pray for those names. Pray that they would come to know Jesus, or pray that they would grow in their relationship with Jesus. And pray that God will use you to lead them and influence them toward Jesus. God, thank you for putting people in our lives on purpose. And we know, God, that you want us to lead them toward Jesus. And so help us do that. Lead us to do that. Use us to make an eternal difference in people's lives. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so you've got like your own prayer card or prayer guide right there. You could take that home with you, and over the next, at least for the rest of the summer, use that to remind you to pray specifically for the people God has put in your life. And then invite them to church, invite them to read the Bible with you, invite them to follow Jesus with you. One of the ways that we fight against fake Christianity is by focusing on God's mission for our lives, leading others to know and follow Jesus. So that's number one. Number two, real deal Christians are passionate about God's purposes. This comes from Jesus' words in verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and yet when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. These religious leaders were so passionate about doing whatever it takes to lead people to convert to their faith tradition. They had what Paul said in Romans 10:2, a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Recently, two Jehovah's Witnesses came to our door on a Saturday morning. And if you ever had them come to your door, they are very passionate. They're passionate about what they believe. The problem is their passion is misdirected. And so we had a very passionate conversation because I'm passionate about what I believe as well. And so we carried on this passionate conversation, but again, it's misdirected because their beliefs about the Bible, about Jesus, about salvation, about eternity is radically different than what we believe. But I do respect their passion. They're so passionate that they were, and about six others, so there were eight in our neighborhood on a Saturday morning just going door to door. I mean, I respect that, but it's misdirected passion. And so even though you may not be a person, probably not a person of another faith, you can fall into this misdirected passion trap. You think about the example of Peter, one of the first disciples of Jesus in his inner circle, one of the primary leaders of the early church. He was very passionate, but at times that passion was misdirected. Here's one of the examples from Matthew 16. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine the guts? I mean, like he's just taking Jesus aside and saying, hey, I think I know better. You know, it's just crazy. And Peter said this, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. In my prayer journal, I have a section called repent. And at the top of that repent section in my prayer journal is this verse of Matthew 16:23. And I have this verse, and then I have a prayer right next to this verse, and it just says simply, Lord, set my mind on your purposes today and not on my purposes today. And I need to have that really at the top of my prayer list because I know how easy it is for me to have misdirected passion. And I know how dependent I am on God to help me direct my passion to him and to his purposes. I need that. And so the problem with the scribes and Pharisees is that they did not recognize their misdirected passion. And so they didn't call out to God to ask God to redirect their passion. And so what a lesson for us, right? The moment, and it's going to happen, multiple moments, but the moment that misdirected passion creeps into our hearts is the moment that we need to get on our knees and we need to pray and ask God to focus our hearts and our minds on His purposes and on what He's passionate about. What is God passionate about? Well, a few things here, right? God's passionate about His glory. This comes from Isaiah, where God said, I'm the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another. God's not going to share His glory. He's passionate about it. God is passionate about His word, also from Isaiah. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. God is passionate about His word. God is passionate about Jesus, right? John 3, the Father loves the Son, has given all things into His hand. God is all about Jesus, passionate about Jesus. God is passionate about the lost. In Luke 19, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. God's so passionate about the lost that He sent Jesus to die in our place so that we could be saved. That's how passionate He is about us and about the lost. And so the fight against misdirected passion and fake Christianity must happen on our knees, begging God to make us passionate about what He's passionate about, asking God to make us passionate about His glory, passionate about His word, passionate about Jesus, and passionate about the lost around us. All right, so I said three characteristics of real deal Christians. Number one, help me out, real deal Christians what? Influence people toward Jesus, all right. Number two, real deal Christians what? Passionate about God's purposes, good. And then finally, number three, real deal Christians are truth tellers and promise keepers. Verses 16 through 22. Woe to you, blind guides, who say if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, just like Jesus is making sure they get it, all right? You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. Whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Now, what's he talking about? Well, Jesus called them out, called these religious leaders out, for trying to make this false distinction between oaths. Basically, they taught, all right, hey, if you swear or if you make a promise by the temple, then you don't have to keep your word. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, then you have to keep your word. They were playing games with the truth, convincing themselves that somehow playing games with the truth would justify their behavior or would achieve some kind of status that would help them in their religious work. But that kind of thinking is not in line with what Jesus taught and with what Jesus expects from His followers. If we're going to be genuine, real deal followers of Jesus, we should be known as truth tellers and promise keepers. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:37. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So when you are a truth teller and promise keeper in your marriage will be healthy and you will be a witness in a world where many marriages are falling apart. When you are a truth teller and promise keeper with your kids, you will grow your connection with your kids. In a world where many parents are disconnected from their kids. When you're a truth teller and promise keeper at work, You will be a witness in the workplace. You will be a witness in a world where many people compromise their integrity in order to achieve their status or their success that they want. Students, when you're a truth teller, a promise keeper at school, you will stand out as a witness in a world where many students cheat, lie, fake their way through school. And that's what God calls us to be. He wants us to be witnesses that stand out. And in order to stand out, we have to be truth tellers, promise keepers. I love what John Piper, a writer, author, says about this countercultural honesty. Here's what he says. Followers of Jesus are not just honest, they are moving toward a condition in which protections against being thought dishonest will not even be necessary. Therefore, they will find countercultural ways of declaring the lordship of Christ over their minds and mouths. In the end, Jesus aims to be known as the way, the truth, and the life. He commands that we live and speak in a way that will make that glory known. Real deal Christians don't play games with the truth. They are known for keeping their word because they trust in a Savior who keeps His word. Aren't you glad that Jesus keeps His word? Wow. Jesus promised that He would die willingly in our place to pay the punishment that we deserve so that we could be reconciled to God. Did Jesus do that? Yeah, He did. Jesus promised that He would come up out of the grave 3 days later, and He did. Jesus promised that He, when He ascended, that He would send the Holy Spirit to lead us and to empower us and to use us and to fill us. And He did. Jesus promised that one day He will return and judge the world. And He will. Jesus keeps His promises. As I talked with the Jehovah's Witnesses that day, I said, lovingly, either Jesus is who He says He is, or He is a crazy lunatic. And for those of us who have experienced the grace and the mercy of Jesus, we know Him to be the real deal. And the real deal Savior has made us real deal Christians. And for those of you, there may be some in the room who have, you've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus. Trust me, He is the real deal. He said that if you will turn to Him, the Bible uses the word repent. So it's like I'm going this way, I'm going my own way, doing my own thing, and then realize, wait a minute, that's not the way God intends for me to go. I'm not my own boss. I didn't make me. I'm not created for my own purposes. I need to stop going my way. I need to turn from my sin, from myself, and I need to surrender. I need to give up going my way. I need to start following Jesus as not just my Savior, but my Lord and my King. And Jesus says and promises that if you will do that, if you will repent, you will not perish. In fact, you will have eternal life. He will forgive you if you surrender to Him. For those of us who are already followers of Jesus, this is our moment to shine the light of Jesus and to share the hope of Jesus. And we don't have to settle for fake Christianity. We can surrender daily to Jesus, trusting that He will make us the authentic, real deal Christians He saved us to be. Trusting Him to lead us and use us in His mission. And when we trust Him to lead us, when we trust Him to make us the real deal Christians He wants us to be, He will use us in ways that we never even dreamed of being used. Because in the end, it's not about us anyway. It's about Jesus, the one who died for us so that we could live passionately for him and lead others to him. I want to invite us to pray together just so we can focus and bow your heads and close your eyes. Just a few moments of prayer. And again, for those, maybe you're thinking about following Jesus, but you just haven't yet surrendered, I want to encourage you to pray today. I want you to surrender your life to Jesus today. All you have to do is pray something like this: God, I admit that I've been going my own way. I'm a sinner. My sin separates me from you, and I'm sorry for my sin. And then just say, God, I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to rise again, so that I could have eternal life. And God, I want to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. I surrender to Jesus today. You just pray something like that. God knows your heart. And you can leave here today a follower of Jesus. For those in the room, those of us who have been following Jesus maybe for a while, I just want you to pray that God would lead you to be the real deal. That God would lead you to influence others toward Jesus. That God would make us passionate about his purposes. And that God would enable us to be consistent truth tellers and promise keepers so that we'll be a witness in the world. God, we thank you for Jesus' words to us today. Yes, they're challenging, but they're so helpful because we don't want to be fake Christians. We just need your help to make us the real deal. Thank you for Jesus, his death and resurrection. Jesus who makes authentic Christianity possible. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for letting me be here today to worship with you all. Pastor Mark, I will be right up here in front if you, during the song or even after the service, if you have anything you want to pray about, if you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, about what it means to be a witness for Jesus, we're here. We would love to talk with you, pray with you, whatever you need.